We are going to look together in the book of Joshua, and this, I think, is the eighth message from the book of Joshua, so we're going to wrap up our time in the book of Joshua for now, and you'll find in the Pew Bible on page 168, and we'll be looking at Joshua 23 and part of 24, and let me encourage you just to turn to page 168 and follow along. As I read, I'll begin reading at verse 14 of chapter 23, and let's stand together as we read and honor God's word. Joshua is speaking here, and he says, "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, and not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened, until he has destroyed you from the good land he has given you, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. The Lord's anger will burn against you, and you'll quickly perish from the good land he's given you." Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived in the east of Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you, but I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgazites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them all into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers who served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would speak to our hearts through it today, as we continue to worship you, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've never been very good at sermon titles, but the title today is God is Faithful. What about you? What about me? Through we see that God is faithful. Now, at the beginning of our passage here, Joshua is an old man. And the Bible tells us he was 110 when he left this earth and went on to be in the presence of his master, the Lord our God. And as an old man, his concern is that the people of Israel will corrupt themselves with other nations that are living around them and even in the midst of them. After he has moved off the scene, what will happen? And that's always a concern as we grow older, is it not? What will be the story for our children and children's children and children's children's children? What will come in those years? And so Joshua calls the nation together, and as he calls them together, he gives them this address that we have read. And it is indeed a wonderful address. He is very clearly showing some wonderful biblical doctrine and principles that we want to dwell on a little bit today. As he addresses them, it's interesting, you'll find that the same principles he speaks about, the Apostle Paul speaks about in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, when he is saying farewell to the Ephesian church. And he has the same concern that things will go astray after he is gone from the scene. So with that little bit of background, let's think then about Joshua as he addresses them. And really, if we took this passage and boiled it down, we'd see that Joshua speaks about three concerns that he has for God's people. And they were important in that day, and they're important to you and I today, because we can gain great benefit from just thinking upon these three things. The first that Joshua speaks to the nation about is courage. Courage. And perhaps not often enough that we say courage is needed to walk by faith. And as a Christian, as a believer, it is a walk by faith. We are trusting God, trusting His Word. And Joshua, of course, knows human nature, and he knows that given time, we tend to slip away from some things that we should never let go of. And so he speaks to them about courage. He knows there's still some unconquered ground that they have to take, and he won't be there to lead. But God who has led all the way anyway, he will be there. And this is, to me, one of the marvels in the years of life that God has given to me. My grandfather, when he was in, just moved into his 90s, I remember in a nursing home visiting him and him saying, "The things that you will see will be incredible, but the thing that will never change is God." And that is so true. This courage is so vital to walk by faith. You see, the children of Israel here in this text were called to a task that is not complete. And you and I, dear brother and sister in Jesus Christ this morning, if you know Him as Savior, you and I are called to a task that is not yet complete. And it will not be complete until the day that Jesus rends the heavens and says, "Okay, time shall be no more." We have a task to take the land just as they did. We do not do it physically. We seek to share the love of God and to see people come into that personal relationship with Him. I remember while pastoring at Arundale Church in Saskatoon, Eugene Kelly came one Sunday And he said, I have such a simple message to preach, and I don't know what God will do with it. And he preached about engaging with the cause of Christ to the end, faithful. And you know, Joshua was a faithful man. God is a faithful God. That Sunday, when Eugene finished preaching, I said to the congregation, how many of us would like to just stand and say, Lord, I want to engage to the end? And I remember standing in tears as the whole congregation got up and said, yeah. You see, it is such a simple thing. Joshua is calling them to have the courage to serve him when the times are good or when they're not. He is calling them to the courage of faith. And he says to them in chapter 24, verses 2 through 10, remember what God has already done. That strengthens our faith when we look at the things that God has already done. And then verses 14 through 17 of that same chapter, he says, be confident in what God will yet accomplish. Now, that's one of those little moments when you stop and think, oh, boy, the world is in such turmoil and things are not going so good. And what an oh kind of moment to say, but God is in this. And no one can thwart his plan. We can be confident in what he is going to do. He is faithful. I'm sure many of you have read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read it, I encourage you. It's a wonderful testimony to the courage that God gives to ordinary people like you and I in extraordinary circumstances. And one of those mentioned in the book is Polycarp, who was in the first century called before a Roman proconsul and told, shut up, never speak the name of Jesus again, or I'll feed you to the beasts. And Polycarp said, well, bring on the beasts. In other words, I can't help but talk about Jesus. It just flows out of my heart. And that proconsul said to him, oh, you despise the beasts. Well, then I'll feed you to the flames. And Polycarp said, the flames that you can ignite, they're only going to last for a short time. But the flames where you will go, if you go into a lost hell without Christ, they will last forever. Now that's courage, wouldn't you say? That's a supernatural endowment by faith into the life of one who is following Christ. And we find this throughout Scripture. God calls us to courage and to walk by faith. And so as we think about Joshua as he is concluding a great life and ministry, he's calling God's people, walk by faith and encourage, trust Christ, that no matter what may come, he will always be there. I have sometimes been in places of conflict, and sometimes talk to soldiers, and I've heard soldiers say, my friend here, he's been beside me in every battle. And I say, friend, I know, I understand that camaraderie, but I also know how quickly that friend can be gone. But I have a friend who will never be gone. His name is Jesus. Courage. Joshua speaks to them about that. He says, I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know with your heart and soul that of every good promise the Lord your God has given you, none has failed. No wonder we could sing, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Trusting in his love divine. So the first thing he speaks about is courage. And are there not times when our courage seems to fail us? When things are just heavy around us, that's the time by faith just to look to the one who has the answer and who is the answer. The second thing that Joshua speaks to the people of God about is certainty. Not just courage, but certainty. And he reminds the people that there are certainties. And we live in times where many of our educators would say there are no absolutes. And I would say, you're wrong. There are many absolutes. As Joshua talks about certainties, he's talking to God's people about the fact that failure comes through compromise. Failure comes through compromise. God's word is certain. Every part of it is true. Everything that he says will take place, will indeed take place. There are eternal realities. And when other things begin to take God's place, then we begin slowly to compromise things. Yeah, you're looking at me and you're saying, Pastor John, you forgot to say it. I did. This is where I stop preaching and start interfering, okay? When other things begin to take his place. Oh, there are oodles of things that can do that, aren't there? It can be as simple as busyness, or it can be something that slowly and steadily we begin to put into the center of our heart more than him. It's so easy. Joshua knew it would happen to Israel. He knew because of human nature. It is in our very nature that we drift. Arnold Cook, one of our former presidents, wrote a wonderful book called Historical Drift. And basically, this is what he says, that in 100 years, a denomination will drift. And I would have to say, we have. But you see, it begins in the individual, not in the corporate sense necessarily, but in us as individuals. When you look at church history, you see this many, many times. For instance, if you look at the life of John Bunyan, if you're not signed up for Right Now Media, you can get it through the church here for free. There's a sign up back on the welcome table back there. And the life of John Bunyan is one of those pieces that's on there. I think it might be in the children's section, which means even I can understand it. And John Bunyan lived in a time. He wrote the book, Pilgrim's Progress. You can get it and read it. It's wonderful. But in his time, he would come to a place and he would begin to preach. And the law of the land said, you can't do that. And so along would come somebody and arrest him and put him in jail. But before he went off to jail, they would say, why don't you get up and apologize and recant, and we won't send you to jail. And he would say, no. You see, he knew that he dare not put anything in God's place, in his heart, in his life. Nothing before him. And we face this in our time too, don't we? There are many things that would pull us astray as individuals. Many indeed. God's answer for drift has always been revival. Now, if you don't take notes, I'm going to encourage you to jot something down here, because I'm going to very quickly give you an illustration in Old Testament scripture of 10 revivals in the Old Testament, in times where things were drifting and in times where God's people needed to be centered again in who he is and what he would do. So I'll give you the scripture references, and his answer has always been to touch lives and bring that flame once again back to the center of he is God and there is no other. In Genesis 35, 1-15, there's revival under Jacob, and the theme is our idols must go. And you'll see a different theme in every one of these 10. In Exodus 32 and 33, there's revival under Moses. And the theme is, we must confess our sin. Each time, God sets the theme for this reviving touch. In 1 Samuel 7, 1 through 13, there's revival under Samuel, and the theme is serve the Lord alone, nobody else. You see, each one of them, God is saying, hey, let me bring you back to that place. And I submit to you, part of our problem in North America is we don't want to admit that we've drifted, and we don't want to hear his voice that says, come back. But we need to. And if all I do in the months or whatever the Lord gives to me to walk with you through this season is kind of stroke along, I'm absolutely no good to you. You need a man in this pulpit who'll preach the truth and not be afraid of it. A little Pentecost layman belongs in there. 1 Kings 18, revival under Elijah. Let God be God. Isn't that what he said on that mountainside? Let God be God. 2 Chronicles 14 through 16, there's revival under Asa. Take time to seek the Lord is the theme. 2 Chronicles 20, revival under Jehoshaphat. Take time to pray to the Lord. Lord, he says, there's so many of them, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ah, you see, God calling his people back to that sense of following him. 2 Chronicles 30, 1 through 9, revival under Hezekiah. Repent, turn back to the Lord. You see, every one of them has a different theme because God is constantly at work calling us as individuals closer to himself. 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, revival under Josiah. Humble ourselves before God is the theme. Haggai chapter 1, Zechariah 1, revival under Zerubbabel. Revive your work, O God, is the theme. Nehemiah chapter 8, revival under Nehemiah. Rejoice in the Lord. Does not the psalmist even say that? Lord, revive us again that your people may rejoice in you. Oh, you see, when there's drift, God wonderfully calls us, and his Spirit is always at work calling for a return. The problem often is, I'm happy where I am. Humility is a difficult thing, isn't it? Because once you got it and you say, I'm humble, you just lost it. John Hyde, Praying Hyde, was asked to go and speak at the Keswick Conference in England. And he spoke so slowly and kind of in a monotone that it wasn't exciting enough. And they sent a singer up and took him down. Oh, you see, he should have been mad. But instead, he was a man who knew revival, and he just said, it's the Lord. He can do what seems good to him. There's a third thing. Joshua not only spoke to them about courage through faith and about the certainty of this sense of drift that can happen, but he also spoke to them about commitment. And in that, he's giving a great challenge. It's one of those great verses, isn't it? You see it up in the walls of Christian homes from time to time. As for me and my house, we will. Oh, you know it. Yeah, we will serve the Lord. Wonderful piece of God's word, isn't it? Yet what Joshua is doing here as he calls the people is to remind them that we're going to serve somebody. No matter who you are today, you're serving someone. You see, he speaks to the people here and he says, you're either going to serve the Lord or else you're going to serve those gods that are around you or from history, things that you sort of have heard about. But he's saying, as for me, in my house, we'll serve the Lord. And you know, the reason for serving is love for God. My Bible says that God first loved us. And indeed, he gave the Lord Jesus for us. And love is of God, says 1 John 4:8. And love comes to us through the Holy Spirit, says Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint us, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. When we come to know Jesus, we come to be under new management, as it were, and surrender to the Spirit of God living inside, who comes to dwell as we ask God for forgiveness and for that new life in Christ. Everything becomes new, wonderfully new. Some of us can remember and testify to that fact of how new it felt. But as we think about this commitment and challenge that Joshua is making, he's really saying a choice has to be made. And you see, this is the rub. If the church will say to the world, oh, we're all good people, we're all just getting along, you won't have a problem. But if we speak the gospel of Jesus and say, we're all sinners, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're all in desperate need of a Savior, all of a sudden, things change. A choice must be made. As a young man, I made a choice to pick up a gun, and I was going to change the world. But instead, the world just changed me. And my heart became so hard, and my life became so miserable. And the things that I thought would set me free just instead broke me totally. But when I came to Jesus, he gave me a new life and a new beginning. You see, love can do what nothing else can. Once in a while, I get to go to the north and minister on some of our reserves. I'll be doing it toward the end of August in the James Smith Reserve again. And Dan over here has been on the reserves up north working with CEF. If you can catch him before he leaves for LaRange, he's got some great testimony of what God is doing. But, you know, Roberta and I sometimes have been ministering with a couple, Bert and Liz Janile. You might see them on tribal trails as they sing and play. And there have been many times where we've gone to places and things have been just so hard. You can tell nobody wants to listen. Not like you guys. You're great. But you can tell when nobody really wants to listen to you. And we've watched so often as Liz gets up just with that guitar of hers. And she says, my life used to be full of drinking and misery and brokenness and woundedness and hurt. And Jesus came to the old shack I was living in one day, one Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus came. And he brought two missionaries with him. And she talks about how she simply got down at the side of that old ruined couch and said, Lord, would you save me? And he did. And she knew it. Folks, when you think about the book of Joshua, and as he wraps things up, he says, you need courage to walk by faith. And you need to understand the certainty of eternity and these eternal issues. And you need to answer Joshua's challenge and say to Jesus, I want to make you Lord and God of my life because you are God. You are God. So may I ask you as I wrap things up this morning,
Who have you chosen to serve? Christ or other things?
Now, there are lots of opportunities to serve the Lord in the church here. And if you're looking for something to do, don't be afraid to talk to me. I'd be so happy to help you engage and discover the blessings of serving Him. When we serve Him, it allows us to discover the gifts that He's given to us spiritually. It allows us to experience the joy of obedience. It helps us to grow more like Jesus. It increases our faith. It helps us experience God's presence. And it gives us a sense of fulfillment. So Joshua challenged the people of old, choose who you will serve. God is faithful. What about you and me? I don't know how many days, months, or years the Lord will give me. But I do know this. I long that every one of them would be given in His service. How about you? He is so faithful. We need courage. That comes from Him. We need to ask Him for it. We need to understand the certainties of what failure and compromise bring. And we need hearts that are full of love to serve Him. Let's just pray together for a moment. And as we pray, I'll ask the team to come back and be ready to lead us in song. Heavenly Father, we've been looking at Your Word. And we live in times where it's easy to see that accommodations and compromises are made all the time, in all sorts of circumstances and ways. Yet, Lord, as we come to You, we would ask You today for courage. There are times in my life when I should have said something for Jesus and didn't, and perhaps in yours also. This is a good time to just say, Lord, forgive me for that and help me to walk with You. We need to understand the certainties. Lord, bring us into that sweet spot relationship with You where Christ is all. And Father, enable us to pick up the challenge. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you can settle an issue of where you will spend eternity when this life is over by asking Christ to become your Savior. It's a choice. Joshua did not force the people to follow God. They chose to do that. And we must do likewise. Spirit of the living God, would You continue to minister to our hearts in these moments as we sing praise to the Lord our God, in Jesus' name.